Well, let's take our Bibles. We got a... You probably don't notice with a crowd this size, but we've got a regular international service today. We got representatives from Japan, China, Jamaica, Africa, Sri Lanka, and Bergen. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. John chapter 1. We'll continue our study in the book of John. Gospel of John, that is. We've been preaching on John the Baptist for quite a bit. He's going to sort of hand things off here. We'll begin reading in verse 33. And I knew him not, this is John speaking, but he that sent me to baptize with water, that'd be God, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, okay, so this is John standing with two of his followers, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, just what we heard for our family school hour, the Lord's Supper, behold the Lamb of God. And this is good here. And the two disciples, those were John's disciples, heard him speak, Jesus speak, and they followed Jesus. I'm sorry. And the two disciples heard him speak, that was John speaking, saying, behold the Lamb of God. They followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saying to them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be, say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Father, we come together again to approach your throne and tell you that we need you and that we love you and that we want to thank you for dying for us. Thank you for being that Passover lamb and, Lord, paying the price. Lord, if there's be anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, doesn't know if they were to stand before God, if they'd have to pay for their sins eternally, Lord, isn't sure of eternal life, I pray today your Spirit would reveal the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ, not through a church, not through a water tank, not through a laying on of hands, but through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and a believing heart. Father, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought. Help me not to be afraid, but to declare your word on this Lord's Day. Lord, pray for our leaders, pray for our country, pray for our world just on the brink of blowing up, Lord. But we are confident in Jesus Christ today. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 37, it says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now take your Bibles, if you got one, and jump over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, talking about following. They followed Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. And straightway, verse 19, and he saith unto them, he's walking by the docks. He wasn't walking by the seminary. Wasn't walking by the temple. When he was calling men from the docks, fishermen. So that means you don't have to be dignified, praise the Lord, to serve him. Amen? Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, watch this, left their nets and followed him. Look at verse 22. And they immediately left the ship. Number two, and their father, number three, and followed him. It says in verse down in verse 25, and there followed him great multitudes of people from all over the place. Seems like we're hard pressed to get anybody saved today, doesn't it? I mean, I was saved in the 80s, and man, it seemed like every week people were walking the aisle. But it's amazing when you do find someone to finally trust Christ. Trying to find those that'll follow him are even fewer. It's funny, some say they are followers of Jesus Christ, but they're not saved. Well, if you're not saved, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Others claim to be saved, but they don't follow Jesus Christ, which is interesting because he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So if you're trusting in a prayer that you prayed and you're not following Jesus Christ, and he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and you're not following, I'd check your salvation out, just saying. But I think the reason that we're hard-pressed to find followers, he said, if any man will come after me, you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And denial and cross-bearing doesn't have much of a place in marshmallow Christianity today, unfortunately. But we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not talking about just being saved. If you're not saved, your first step towards God, your first step toward heaven, your first step toward forgiveness, your first step towards knowing God is through salvation in Jesus Christ. But after you're saved, now it's time to get up and follow. And that is the essence. You know, we talk about the essence of the gospel and all that. The essence of the New Testament gospels, you will never find Jesus begging people to pray a prayer so they can go to heaven. Never. In fact, he'd say, except a man be born again, not see the kingdom of God, and walk away. You know what the essence of the New Testament Gospels is? Follow me. And I think we got a whole lot of people think they're going to heaven and they're going to hell because they did something that really isn't laid out in the Gospels. And I'm not saying work saves. I'm not saying following him saved. I'm telling you, following him is evidence of being saved. So Jesus Christ is walking on earth, God manifest in the flesh, the living Word. He's physically walking by these men that can see him and they can see him and they can touch him and they can hear him say, follow me. And you noticed that to follow him, they had to leave something else. And they did. And they followed him and they ate with him and they ministered with him and they took fellowship with him. But then they took their Savior and they put him on that cruel cross for your sins and for mine and for theirs. But you know the story. 3 days later, he rose again. And now something was going to change. The way his disciples would follow would change. Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts. That's the history book after Jesus died, rose, and ascended. And we're going to read about his ascension here. Now, this is the history book of what the early church did with what Jesus left them with after he left. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We all want it good now, don't we? Something good's going to happen to you. That's what the charismatic radio preachers say. Pastor Grace used to say, no, something bad's probably going to happen to you. A slip between the cup and the lip. I've been picking up on that lately. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Uh-oh, something's going to change. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall show come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What are you looking at? I'm thinking, he told us to follow him, and I don't have wings. I'm wondering where he's going. But God had a plan. And back in the Gospels, he would say, I want you to tarry. I'm going to go, but I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, because as soon as one part of my person leaves, another part of my person is going to come. And the triune Godhead has a, that means the Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one being, has had a plan from the foundation of the world. And as a general rule, in the Old Testament, Father God, Jehovah ministered. In the New Testament Gospels, God the Son ministered. And in the church age in which we live, it is the Holy Spirit of God that ministers. And Jesus conveys this plan to his disciples, and he said, boys, we're going to tweak this thing just a little bit, and when I go, I'm not going to leave you alone. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and get this now, and things are going to get better. You know, we as students of the Bible, we read those gospels and we read those miracles and we see people walking on water and raising the dead, and we say, oh man, I would have loved to be if I could only had been here when Jesus ministered. Then I would do better. Let me tell you, if you're not living in this age better, you wouldn't do better then, because remember that commercial, fill it in, things go better with Coke. Things go better with the Spirit, and I'm going to show you that today. We living in the church age have numerous advantages over the very apostles that walked and talked and looked at and laid on the breast of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14. And we got to get our confidence in that, especially as churches dwindle, especially as Christianity. My wife was telling me she saw a bumper sticker. It said, Medicare for all, okay, without God. You imagine dying and facing God with that bumper sticker, okay, without God. But we're living in a day where it seems like, where is God? I hope by the time we go home today, you'll be sure confident knowing where he is. John 14, 17. Even the Spirit, let's go in 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth, watch, say that word, he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? The reason our age is superior as far as ministry is that God is no longer only with us that are saved. He is in us. You ever stop to think about the ramifications and the advantages of that truth? Remember Mary when her brother died, her brother Lazarus died? What did she say? She said, Lord, if you would have been here. In the Gospels, they needed comfort from the Lord who would be without. In the New Testament church age, we draw our comfort from the Lord that is within. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, the Comforter, he's called the Comforter. They didn't have that. They were with him, but he wasn't in them. And when he would go over there, he wasn't omnipresent. That was part of his humanity. We call it the doctrine of the humanity of Christ. God, when he became flesh, he put off his attribute of omnipresence. He could only be at one place. Oh, Lord, if you would have been here, I got good news for you. No matter what you're going through, he is here. The teaching from the Lord to the apostles had to come from the Lord without. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things. He said, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. We get our teaching from within. We got it going on. We got advantages. When the Lord wanted to rebuke someone, he had to be there to do it in his earthly ministry. Now, And when he comes, he will reprove. He uses the conscience. He uses the word. He uses the preaching. He uses the church. He uses the spirit. He will reprove the world. And if he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, don't you think his spirit can't do it with us? One day, Jesus Christ in person looked at those disciples, imagine this, and said, I go to the Father. That's nice. And he left. The triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit, he will never leave us nor forsake us. I don't ever have to worry about the Holy Spirit saying, I go to the Father. The day the Holy Spirit in me goes to the Father, I'm going there too. If you're saved, the Spirit of God is locked inside. Now, that's got to bother some of you. He won't leave you alone. Get out of here, Lord. I can't. I'm locked in. Some of you are saved whether you want to be or not. Listen, they can take away everything we have. They can take away your church. They can take away your Bible. They can take away your country. They can take away your freedom. But they cannot take away your God because he's locked inside. What do you think they thought when they were looking at that cross? I'll tell you what they thought. It said, all men forsook him and fled. He must not have been it. John the Baptist in the prison. He must not have been it. He's it. Because he's not only with us, he's in us. And because of that, are we still in John 14? Look at this verse 12. Because of that, the work of the ministry, listen, this is amazing, can go further under the Spirit's ministry than it went under the very ministry of Jesus Christ. And we get to be in this time. 14 verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Look at, because he is in us, just by sheer numbers, the work of God can go further than it did under the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In a few minutes, probably sooner, some of you would hope, we're going to dismiss. And without even trying, you're going to go into all the world, or at least to our Jerusalem. Whether you're going to preach the gospel, I don't know, whether you're going to be witnesses. But you know what? This afternoon, God is going to go to the farm, and he's going to go to Wegmans and get some clam chowder, and he's going to go to the bank, and he's going to go to Wegmans, and pretty soon he's going to go to Zambia, and right now he's over there in Greece, and where? In us. Listen, after 3.5 years of earthly ministry, do you know what Jesus Christ had? He had 120 in the first chapter of the book of Acts. After 50 days, but really the first day of preaching under the ministry of the Spirit, he had 3,000. God's got a plan. And I'm afraid that Baptists have sort of shunned the Holy Spirit because of those that don't rightly divide the truth and mess the thing all up. We are in the age of the Spirit. Now, we don't preach. He speaks not of himself. We're not always talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. We pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Couple days later, under the ministry of the Spirit, 5,000. Shortly under the ministry of the Spirit, it was on 3 continents. I'm telling you, things under the Spirit are superior because he's not only with us, but he's in us. And that, in effect, multiplies the scope of when he said, follow me. And if we're going to follow him, we are going to follow him. The Spirit is going to lead us and guide us into all truth. Are you following? Let me give you a specific. How do I do it? He said, not only am I going to put my Spirit in you when you believe, I'm going to organize you into a spiritual body. I'm going to call it my church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not to be confused with the thing you're sitting in today, but we'll get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't confuse this with water, because it's not talking about water. But if you haven't been water baptized since you've been saved, Wednesday night is your opportunity. I had this in my notes, but I'll say it now. I got a text from Brother Knox. You need to be praying for our missionaries. Their missionary in Ukraine has the car packed, because Russia is amassing troops at the border, and they're expected to invade them. And Jason, if that didn't shock me enough, I said, wait a minute, I didn't hear about this. Sure enough, there it is. Right on the big new... where?
Way down underneath... 5-year-olds can get vaccinated now. 5-year-olds, did you know that 5-year-olds can get vaccinated now? Under... can you believe that we won in Virginia? We won in Virginia?
They're eating, they're drinking, they're arguing, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage, and China put some supersonic something in space that, number one, we didn't even know was coming, and number two, we have nothing to compare with it. You better get saved, because one day that trumpet's going to blow. I want to be ready. So we're talking about salvation here, verse 13. For by one Spirit, there he is, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, have been made drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He said, I'm gonna make this living organism something that I don't understand it, but somehow he came into me when I got saved, and my spirit was immersed into him, and I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's a great mystery, but it's true. So in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, there he is, walking and ministering in his body. God incarnate, God in a body. Isn't he something? You know what he did now? God in bodies to make up one body, the body of Christ. Whew. I'm telling you, things go better with the Spirit. Things go further with the Spirit. The gospel's around the world because of the Spirit. Now go to, and it continues. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think about those Pharaoh's followers say, what, know you not that Egypt is destroyed? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Look at here. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Not only would he put us into this spiritual thing, but he said, I'm going to make these local assemblies that believers would make up, and I'm going to call it the house of God and the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know what that sounds? That sounds like stability to me in an unstable world. Thank God for the church. I mean, you can worship in the woods. Well, heathens usually prefer to worship. Now I worship in the woods. I worshiped in the woods this morning. I worshiped in the woods 5 days this week. But I like it where God likes it. I think your corporate worship is only as good as what cumulatively makes up everybody's private worship. That's why this guy's always here trying to pull our hair. Come on, come on, come on. He's been going at it since 4:30 in the morning. Somebody come in today. I said, come on, man. It's daylight saving. I said to my wife this morning, man, they should do this every week, this daylight saving. I'm feeling great. Where two or three are gathered. Remember he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Where two or three are gathered, there will I be in the midst. I don't understand it all. I call it the special presence of God, but there is some kind of presence of God in the Spirit that you get where two or three or more are assembled in his name that you don't get in the woods. You notice we don't have many windows in here. The only reason that's clear, because we had the free door, it was on the other building. They said, let's put windows. I have enough trouble with you. Look at the birds. Oh, it's raining. Look at the hail. It's clouds. Well, those people down at the church, they're hypocrites. You're a genius. That's why they need church. Sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin, even if it's only for the 45 minutes I'm trying to preach the devil out of you and me. Imagine how hypocritical we'd be without church. What I'm trying to say is following him is not a mystery. We follow him through the Spirit of God. It's not random. It's not a guessing game. It's not solo. I'm just doing my own thing out here. Jesus laid out his plan of how to follow him in this age, and it has three big elements: the Word, the Spirit, and his church. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I love it. I've loved it for 30, however many years I've been saved. I couldn't wait to get there. I'm in no hurry to go home. Oh, man, saved in the church, baptized in the church, raised my kids in the church, ministered in the church. You ever hear this? I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in organized religion. You ever think about that comment? Would you admit in any other area of your life, or would anyone say, I don't believe in organization? Yeah, I could tell. I looked in your file cabinet. I mean, I keep files, but I don't believe in organized files. I'll tell you what, you read the Old Testament tabernacle, the temple at Jerusalem, the church in the Bible, like it or not, God likes to be followed in order. He said, let everything be done decently and in order. That's why this wildfire that we are seeing in our churches today, that they're trying to mimic the world, it's out of order. It's disorder. If all you have is rags, wear the best rags you got. But God's not cool with rags. It's out of order. I don't believe in organized file cabinets. I don't believe in organized closets. I don't believe in organized... Could you imagine Patrick Mahomes, big quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm saying this for Stephen's sake, saying, I want to be the best I can. I just don't believe in organized sports. I mentioned these things going on in our news, and it says, it's raising eyebrow. I pray for Mike Ireland right off the bat. He looks like one of them, man. They're not going to spare him. The night cometh, I'm telling you, the night is coming when no man can work. It says it raised the eyebrows of some of our leaders. Really? You imagine going to the general of the army or the navy or who's ever over that region and say, well, we don't believe in organized military. We know we have a country to defend. We know we have interests to defend, but we don't believe in organization. Organization maximizes objectives. What's the objective of the local church? Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm finishing up. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Oh, gifts. We like gifts. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended into the first lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, and I'm going to tell you where he gave them. He gave them to the church, to the people in the body of Christ, not to lone rangers. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why, Lord? Why did you give? Why did you give under the ministry of the Spirit what you didn't give under the ministry of Jesus Christ? Here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in unity. Can I paraphrase that? That's how we follow him through his local church. You want to get better? Get in church. You want to get better than that? Stay in church. Join church. Commit to church. Contribute to church. Serve God through the church. Raise your kids in church. Base your marriage around the church. Make your friends in the church. Because he said, where two or three are gathered, that's where I'm going to be. That's where I want my kids to be. Listen, don't ever get, and I'll tell you, this COVID has not had a big impact on us. But I got guys, and some local guys, they're down by half because of this sickness. And I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but I will tell you this. Don't ever get the, eh. Just turn it on. It's not the same. Let me tell you, you'll develop habits fast. And I don't know what it is about this sinful nature. Even though we're saved, it's easier to develop bad habits than it is to get back in good. You know the verse that they use, they make it sound like it's purgatory, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more. See, you ought to be in church. Listen, that's not for God, that's for us. Because it gets darker, we need more light. Because it gets more evil, we need more righteousness. The whole thing works together. The truth, the body of Christ, baptized into the Spirit, doing the work of God. Let me say it. The Spirit of God with and in the saints of God, comforted, edified, perfected, taught, and equipped in the church of God. Pray for us. I was telling one of the guys the other day, I said, do you know, and I'll make it public, there is a rebellion going on in this church. Got your attention. They got a petition going around, Damon. You know what the petition is, Bill? We want to start the Bible Institute up again, and we got 13 signatures. That's my kind of rebellion. Comforted, edified, perfected, taught, and equipped in the church to go out into the world. Listen, he said it, I didn't, doing a greater work than Jesus Christ could do at his first coming. And if that assembly ever comes to, or serve, or you're just coming and going and not staying, or you're coming and going and not serving. You're like a person that's just eating but not expending any energy. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Listen, if we will follow, I don't care how dark it gets, we can do a greater work. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need to take advantage of the church of God and the Word of God. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor, if you'd come.